Good evening and greetings in Jesus' name this evening. It's good to be here. Good to, again, come and see the brothers and sisters here at Leola and share the evening together with you. Building bridges, not walls. I had to wonder what the thought behind this topic, this title was. What are you looking for this evening? What is your goal in the message? Why should we look at building bridges? Bridges are expensive. They take a lot of time, take a lot of effort to build. We're driving down here. We came through the 222-30 interchange, and they're working on bridges there. That project is a $72 million project that's going to take until the year 2027 to complete. And I imagine a sizable part of that $72 million is bridges or bridge work. So bridges are expensive. They take a lot of time, but they have advantages. They give access over obstacles. Think of roads that intersect and there's, you put a bridge over, it can help traffic flow. Bridges connect two sides of a river, allowing traffic to flow across a parallel, a swollen river without even thinking about what's underneath you. You can just drive across it and flow, the traffic flows across it. Bridges connect countries. The U.S.-Canada border has 26 bridge and tunnel border crossings that connect the two countries. We're thinking of bridges tonight. I want to primarily be thinking about bridges in relationships, connections, ways that we connect and build bridges in relationships. When there's a difference, when there's a divide, something that is dividing us, a river, canyon, a gorge, a bridge is a way to build a connection across that divide. And we want to look at that tonight. The title infers that it's a good thing to build bridges and a bad thing to build walls. So what about walls? What are walls for? What are walls built for? And why do people build walls? Found it interesting, the same area there on Route 222 and 30 has walls along Route 30. There's walls there that are designed to provide privacy, quiet from the traffic. There's folks that live right on the other side of that wall that can enjoy a quiet backyard without having that traffic buzzing right by, that it is actually going by only a few yards away, but that gives them a sense of privacy. So our walls all bad. We're in a building here tonight that has walls. They're here for our protection. They're here to support the roof structure. They give privacy and protection from the elements. Had to think of another wall, the international border, the southern border, has a southern border wall. You hear a lot of talk, or have heard a lot of talk about the border wall. One source I found, there's over 700 miles of physical barrier or wall between Mexico and the United States. It's designed to keep illegal immigration in check. We're not going to get into the politics surrounding the border wall, but that wall was built and designed to keep people from crossing it. It's put there as a physical barrier between the two countries to separate the people, separate the cultures, keep people from freely crossing without proper paperwork, without proper immigration status. So walls can be constructed for the purpose of stopping communication, stopping travel, stopping the mixing of the two cultures. So the walls we want to look at this evening are walls that divide and separate us in our relationships. walls that hamper our ability to understand and work together as brothers and sisters. So yes, tonight we want to look at walls primarily as something that is a hindrance in our relationship, something that is harmful or not good for relationships. Walls are easier to build than bridges. Think of a bridge, it takes months, even years to build those bridges. At times, some of the big bridge projects, you take a framing crew and a house, and in a matter of a day or two, they can have the walls up. It goes up quick. So walls are easier to build than bridges, and I think it's the same way in relationships. It's easier to have those walls come up. Thinking about relationships, and we'll look at this a little later, there's one to think of different types of relationships, and probably the closest, thinking of the closest ones first, you have the home between a husband and wife, between parents and children, some of those close relationships where you spend time together every day. Then brotherhood relationships in your congregation, brothers and sisters relating together in a close relationship. There's potential for walls, there's potential for breakdown of communication on those levels. Then you have work, maybe the folks you work and interact with from day to day, people you know well, but there's differences there, not necessarily those that you agree with in every way, but you spend time together with them and work with them. How can we build bridges, build communication there? And then you have the random relationships, I'll call them, the random meetings at grocery store, cashier, the person across the gas pump from you, that person you meet at the parts store or the hardware store, somebody that you bump into that you may never meet again. It's just a casual, random meeting. How can we turn those into something where we can build a bridge? I think about some of that here this evening. You can turn with me for a passage to Joshua chapter 22. I came across this account a few weeks ago in my personal devotions, and it struck me as a example of two groups of people that had a divide between them and an endeavor to build a bridge, and it turned into a wall, but then later a bridge again. I'm going to read a nice part of this passage. We're going to read from verse 9 through the end of the chapter. Giving a little bit of a backdrop to this, this is in Joshua, after Joshua and the children of Israel had conquered most of the land of Canaan. The conquest was basically over. If you remember, the two and a half tribes, the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, had taken land east of the Jordan River. They had claimed land there for themselves, but had agreed to help the other tribes in the conquest of Canaan. So they came across the Jordan with Joshua and helped with the conquest, and they were now returning to their land, the land that they were claiming on the east side of the Jordan. Let's start reading at verse 9. We're going to read to the end of the chapter. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go unto the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they had possessed, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan and the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes of each chief house a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel, And each one was a head of the house of their father among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead. And they spake with them, saying, Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord? Did ye have builded you an altar that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? But that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord, and it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us. But rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us, in building you an altar besides the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and the wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? And the man perished not alone in his iniquities. Then the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered, and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know, if it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or is it to offer thereon burnt offering or meat offering, or is it to offer peace offering thereon? Let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, In time to come, our children might speak unto our children, saying, What have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and the children of Gad. Ye have no part in the Lord, so shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, Let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you, and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifice and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, Ye have no part in the Lord. Therefore said we, that it shall be, when they shall so say to us or to our generation in time to come, that we may say again, Behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offering, for meat offerings, or for sacrifice, besides the altar of the Lord our God that is before his tabernacle. And when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation and the heads of the thousands of Israel which were with him heard the words of the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest said unto the children of Reuben and to the children of Gad and to the children of Manasseh, This day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest and the princes returned from the children of Reuben and from the children of Gad out of the land of Gilead unto the land of Canaan to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel. And the children of Israel blessed God, and did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. In this passage, children of Israel and the 2.5 tribes that were on the other side of Jordan had some things happen that caused a misunderstanding. There was a wall that went up. I'm going to look at that a little this evening. In verse 10, the 2.5 tribes, as they were returning, recognized there was something between them. There was a physical boundary between them. There was a river, the Jordan River, between them. As I mentioned in the introduction, bridges span something that a dividing aspect of geography. And in relationships, There's also often differences, and there's often a divide that needs to be bridged. In this case, it was a physical geographical division, and this Jordan River would hinder travel. It would be something that would divide them and set them apart, and you would have us and them. On the one side, you had the 2.5 tribes, and then you had the rest of Israel. Maybe an example of this today, the congregation starts an outreach, and you have a group of people that agree to go to the outreach, but it's maybe a few months yet till it happens. As soon as that decision, as soon as those plans are made, you begin to have a divide between the two groups. It's not always bad, it's not wrong, but there's an us and them that develops. You start to look at who is with you and who is at the other congregation. Sometimes the things that divide are not geographical. Maybe the differences we experience are when we meet our Protestant friend that has a difference of doctrinal difference. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of traveling with an older gentleman that's part of a non-denominational Baptist-like church, and it didn't take long till we got talking about doctrine, and he was very excited about talking about that. And we found we had some differences, some doctrine that divided us, some things that we did not agree on. And we had a choice whether we were going to build a bridge or build a wall. We'll maybe look a little more at that a little more later. Sometimes the things that divide us are trivial. Maybe they're small, insignificant, but to us and to others, sometimes they look big or feel big. Our natural tendency is to protect ourselves from something we view as a threat and build a wall to keep that from hurting us. The 2.5 tribes here of Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh recognized, and in verse 24 and 25, when they were explaining themselves, they said that it's possible that this River Jordan is going to cause a divide between us and you, and it's going to cause a problem. The geographical division had the potential in the coming generation to cause walls to be built for their children to view the rest of Israel as another nation, and it could cause their children to stop from following God. And they wanted to bridge that gap. They wanted to do something to bridge that gap. And that's what we see them doing in verse 10. The 2.5 tribes decided to build an altar to serve as a reminder to the coming generations. They wanted a bridge. They wanted something to bridge the gap of the Jordan River, something to remind them that they were part of the rest of Israel. They wanted a spiritual connection so both sides would remember the Lord and what he had done. And we see when the rest of Israel understood that later, they were happy with that. They came to rest with it. It was a blessing to both sides. In verse 11, what the 2.5 tribes meant as a bridge, as a reminder to them, became a wall to the rest of Israel. The rest of Israel saw it as a threat. They saw it as something that was a problem. It says, the children of Israel heard say. So often that's how those misunderstandings start. You heard somebody else say something. They heard say that there was something going on over there, and that the misunderstanding, they made some assumptions as to why the altar was built, and it was not, they had not made the correct conclusion to it. As a result of a lack of communication, the rest of Israel formed some conclusions before they investigated the alleged motives of the 2.5 tribes. I believe this is a huge cause for walls in our relationships. We assume that what our brother or sister is doing that to us appears like a mistake. It looks like a mistake that they've made. It looks like something they've done that is a disaster, something that, why would they ever do something like that? But most times, let's remember, most times, well, the reason, from their perspective, it makes sense. It reminds me of the old American Indian proverb, never judge another man until you have walked a mile in his moccasins. Put yourself in his shoes, and maybe it will make more sense. Well, a few thoughts. Communication, communicating. It's essential to building bridges. Thinking about bridges, physical bridges, engineers must put a lot of time and energy into designing a bridge. They test, they verify the existing conditions, they look for obstacles that are going to get in the way. Construction of the bridge needs to be precise. It needs to be very precise. When they go to set one of those large beams, they want to know that the two piers are precisely where they're supposed to be so that that beam will fit. There takes a lot of communication between the engineers, those in doing the construction, those that are overseeing the construction. There has to be a lot of communication. And so it is in relationship. If communication breaks down, there'll be misunderstandings, and soon there will be walls instead of bridges. Soon there will be divisions instead of building something that will span those bridge those walls. A few thoughts on communication. First one is be transparent. In this chapter, if the 2.5 tribes had told the rest of Israel why they were building this altar before they left Canaan, it would have averted the whole conflict. If they would have just sent someone back and said, we're building an altar here to remind us that we're part of you, we're serving God, we're serving the God of Shiloh, this altar is not intended to be used to offer sacrifices, it would have averted the whole situation, the whole conflict. How can we do that today? When you're doing something that has the potential to be misunderstood, sometimes we need to proactively explain why we're doing what we're doing. Explain the reason and decision so it doesn't cause a wall. And this could be taken to an extreme. I don't think we need to always be explaining every little reason why we make a decision, but part of bridging the gap is explaining why we reached the conclusion we did. If you know that someone could take offense at what you're doing, maybe just a little explanation as to why and what, and giving them a few of your thought processes will go a long way in helping to bridge that gap. And then on the other side, the second thought on communication is be slow to judge. It's the other side of the bridge, the other abutment to that bridge. In this chapter, we see the Israelites gathered together and prepared for war. It seems like it happened very quickly. They heard say that there was an altar being built, and they all gathered together for war. But then at some point, someone with some wisdom said, maybe we should send someone over and check out what's going on before we just attack the 2.5 tribes. And they sent Phinehas and 10 princes with him. There was wisdom in that. They sent more than one person. They sent a delegation to investigate what was happening, to see what was going on, and see if they could understand what was happening. And there was wisdom in that. I think that was a good thing that they did. Questions. They asked questions when they got there. And that's the thing I want to bring out in this. Someone does something, let's be slow to judge. And one way to do that is ask questions. Be careful how you ask the questions. Ask them in a non as benign a way as you can. When I looked at the questions that that Phinehas and these 10 princes had, I think they had a little bit of prejudice. They had made some conclusions already about what they assumed these 2.5 tribes were doing. Maybe they should have just asked, can you explain what this altar's here for, and then left the 2.5 tribes reply. But they went to a long list of naming some of the sins of Achan and the things that happened at Peor. They were listing all the other times when God had judged those who had set up an altar and was worshiping idols. So when you question your brother and there's communication that needs to happen because you're unsure of where he's at, be slow to judge. Be slow to jump to conclusions. Remember that most likely the person on the other side of the river has a very logical and thought through reason for what they're doing. And therefore, it's good for us to be slow to pass judgment without first trying to understand their perspective, understanding why and where they're coming from. The third point on communication, be quick to take care of misunderstandings. By letting the misunderstandings go, we're allowing walls to build. They seem to go up without much effort. In Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24, Jesus tells us, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Jesus taught that it is important to take care of things quickly. Take care of offenses and misunderstandings before they become bigger. I think I even sense that he says to prioritize it ahead of worship. He says, leave your gift there at the altar and go be reconciled and then come and offer your gift. Again, in this chapter, the Israelites went and asked questions, but maybe they should have done that before they went to all the work of gathering the fighting men together. They had just got done fighting the Canaanites. I'm sure they had lots of building, rebuilding to do. But they had gathered all the fighting men of war together, and I'm sure if they would have in first investigated rather than gathering for war, it would have been a blessing to everyone. So be quick to take care of misunderstandings. What about some practical bridge building today? Maybe some thoughts that don't come directly from this story, this account. But how can we build bridges with our fellow man, with those we relate to? First point on practical bridge building is look for common ground. When you build a bridge, you need to start from a foundation, two abutments that are aligned. If you start with one that is upstream and the other downstream, and they're not pointed at each other, you're going to have problems. The bridge will not meet when you get to the middle. Look for common ground and build bridges that are based on common ground. I mentioned in the introduction about the Baptist friend. I enjoyed our trip together. We had a lot of discussion surrounding doctrine. He had a lot of questions for where the Mennonites are, different questions. We discussed eternal security and predestination, and there are some of the areas that we had some different viewpoints. But then it was interesting, as we went on, I sensed there was some common ground that we were finding. He was decrying the moral state of nominal Christianity in a lot of churches today. Talked about the churches that have the pride flag and the LGBTQ community that are fully embraced by some of the churches. And he said how that is he just cannot understand that. And he he doesn't understand how those churches could be Christian. Well, I found that interesting to hear his position on that. He agreed that our position of not having women in church leadership is a biblical view. He agreed that that was scriptural, and he appreciated that. He agreed with me and that Christians whose life are not producing fruit is a dangerous place to be in. I began to wonder if we were not so far apart on the eternal security question as we were when we were discussing that. But he agreed that if a Christian's life does not produce fruit, they're in a dangerous place. It was interesting as we talked how that we could bridge some of those gaps, not all of them, and there's still things that him and I did not agree on, but I think there was some common ground that we found a way to build a bridge. And if I meet him, when I meet him again, I think we'll be able to talk about doctrine, and there won't be any hard feelings between us as we talk about those things. So look for common ground, areas that you can agree on. And I think as you think of our brotherhood, our brothers and sisters, you'll find there's a lot of common ground. There may be a few things that you disagree on or a few things that are different, but by and large, you're going to find that your brothers and you have common ground. The second practical bridge building, the closer the relationship, the more important the bridge. I mentioned in the beginning about family and church and then work and then random acquaintances. I think that we know that the closer we relate, the more important it is to keep communication open in a relationship. The bridges are important, and it's so much easier for the walls to go up as well. Thinking of our spouse or our family, look for ways to strengthen the bridges you already have in place. Be intentional about understanding each other. When disagreements or misunderstandings come up, take time to quickly resolve them. Spend time together planning, dreaming together about goals, ideals, and visions for the future. Endeavor to understand your children and seek to find common ground. Again, to find that common ground to build a bridge on. Spend time together. Bridges take time. Again, when you build a bridge, it can seem like it goes on and on. The project takes a long time to complete. It takes time, and we need to spend that together in relationships. If you sense walls are going up, do your best to understand the other's point of view and perspective and work at bridging that gap. And in the church brotherhood, it's similar. Seek to understand and build bridges together. And when you have a disagreement or misunderstandings, work them out. Sit down and work them out. Again, it takes time, it takes discussion, it takes understanding each other's perspective. And remember, your brother and you agree on almost everything. There's only a few small things that you have that disagreement about. If we alienate ourselves from the brotherhood, from our church brotherhood, we put ourselves out pretty much by ourselves. Who do you have to support you? Who do you have to help you along in the Christian life? Remember the test of love that Jesus gave in John 13:35. He says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." If we're going to build walls around ourselves and isolate ourselves from the rest of our brothers, the world around is going to see that, and they're going to recognize or see that we're not open to the brotherhood. And Jesus said that's how men are going to know you're my disciples. And build bridges with those we meet that are open to the gospel. And I'm thinking of coworkers, those acquaintances you have, neighbors, those you come in contact with that are seeking, maybe those who are not Christians, but they're open to the gospel. And Jesus was a true example of this. We looked at it last Sunday in our Sunday school lesson with the woman at the well, how he took the everyday examples, the everyday illustrations, things they were facing, and he turned it into a spiritual discussion. He did not antagonize her. He used the natural example of the well to turn the conversation to the spiritual. Let's be open to the seeking, hurting hearts of those we meet that are thirsting for that water, and help to build bridges in relationship. Seek to draw them out as we can. When they face a discouraging time or something happens that they're acutely aware of their need for God in their life, will they remember you as someone that was building a bridge with them? I think there will be times that you'll face that, you'll see that as something happens, they'll come back to where they know there's someone that understands and is trying to, willing to share the gospel with them. Do your neighbors know you as someone they can come and ask questions, or do they see you as some isolated, exclusive community that is not open to others? It was a challenge for me to be open with my neighbors about what I believe and open, invite them to church, invite them to special services or anything that they would be interested in. Thinking a little bit about tearing down walls, how do you tear down a wall when there is a wall there? You sense a wall between you and another person, maybe a brother or sister in the congregation, and there's a wall there. Communication is closed. It's separating you off. How do you tear that down? The other person has put up that wall as an intent on keeping it up. It may not be possible to tear it down very easily. It's going to take work to tear that down and build a bridge. But do your part to bridge the gap. Be the first to go and offer to make amends. Go and seek reconciliation. Reach out. Let them know that you are willing to bridge the gap if they are. Like I said, you can't force the other person to build a bridge, but you can go and make it clear that you're willing to make amends and bridge the gap. And maybe you'll find there was an offense there, that something that you did that caused an offense. Be willing to make it right. Be willing to go and reconcile with the other party. Be willing to go the second mile to bridge that gap. So when are bridges not needed? When are bridges not good? Is there a place where they could be, it's right to put a wall up instead of a bridge? Just a little bit on that. I had to think of times, maybe sometimes we need to build walls to protect our families. We cannot open our arms wide and embrace the world and the sinful culture we live in without it being harmful to us. So we need to be careful in throwing our arms wide open, but that's not the focus of the message this evening. Instead, I want to think about building relationships, building bridges in relationships that are good. But let's be careful about bringing influences into our homes, into our churches that are not good. That's a place where a wall would be in order. Again, let's be ready to share the gospel. Find the common ground. Find the areas that we can agree on. Remember, when you put up a wall, it shuts out others as well as isolating yourself. And it does not promote brotherhood or healthy relationships. In conclusion, I have a poem that I thought of when I thought of this title that you gave me of Building Bridges. I'm going to read this poem in conclusion. It's titled The Bridge Builder. An old man, going a lone highway, came at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fears for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," said a fellow pilgrim near, "you are wasting strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at the eventide?" The builder lifted his old gray head. "Good friend, in the path I have come," he said, "there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been naught for me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him." Maybe it has a little different aspect to the bridges that we were talking about tonight, but let's remember that building bridges are something that will be a benefit to the rising generation, to the ones following after. Let's look for bridges, ways we can bridge relationships, ways we can draw others into closer following Jesus, following the gospel message. Let's kneel together for prayer.